complete this sentence for me? For it is by grace that we have been saved. Yeah, that's not the whole sentence, through faith, right? Just don't give me the next word. Come on. Right, we've been saved through faith in this, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Okay, now this is meat and potatoes Bible here. So that's a good one to memorize right there. I'll help those of you who are still wondering if this is really an interactive experience. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Okay, right. In the muddled mud, we got it out. And some of you nodded in agreement and were too afraid to pronounce begotten or whosoever. I wonder if there's anybody in the room that could complete this line. This is not found in the Bible, so there's a major clue. Snow blows white on the mountain tonight. You can complete it, can't you? Those of you who aren't laughing don't have little girls in your house. That is the first line to the most popular song in the Disney movie Frozen. And I was reading online this past week, Disney, Frozen is now the largest animated feature of all time, one of the largest movies of all time in grossing money. But they just added Elsa and Anna as princesses to Disney World. And I was reading this past week that from the moment the front gates open at Disney World, after 10 minutes, there is already more than a two-hour wait to stand in line to get your picture taken with Elsa and Anna. And if you wait much longer than that, the average through the day is just over 5 hours of wait time to get your picture taken with Elsa and Anna. And so the story I was reading, they were interviewing somebody that had been standing in line over 4 hours and said, why would you spend $100 for a Disney World ticket to spend half of your day waiting to take your picture with Elsa and Anna? And he said, because that is all that my daughters have talked about for 6 months. So of course we're going to stand in line for Elsa and Anna. We are infatuated with royalty in this culture. You might not realize it, but how do you think Disney has made bukus of money? Now, I don't know how much that is, but it's a lot of money. And it's by the way that they've promoted this princess culture to our children. And it's worked very well, I might add. It's worked very well. Now, where does this infatuation come from? Let me ask you this question. What if the desire to be royalty came from God? Because when God calls you through his son, Jesus Christ, he has ordained us as royalty. Do you realize that, church? That you become a king or a queen or a prince or a princess in Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:9. You are a royal priesthood according to Christ. So we have this thing built into our DNA, right, that we long for, but perhaps it doesn't look like what we see on the Disney movies. In fact, I guarantee you it doesn't look like what we see on the Disney movies. That might not actually come from God. That probably comes from something else. That's another sermon, and all of it. So I'm going to keep preaching here. Okay, we know who we are. We know, we've heard, okay, I'm supposed to be a king. I'm supposed to be a prince or a princess. Let's understand the looks of it in Isaiah 32, verses 1 through 4. He says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed, and the ears of those who hear will give attention. The heart of the hasty will understand and know, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak distinctly. Man, what a mouthful, right? What is this talking about? A king will reign in righteousness. Now, I want to just tell you something prophetically right off the bat right here. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He is a King of kings and the Lord of lords. And a king will reign. Hear this. I don't care what you do with your life in this world, Jesus Christ will reign. Right? It's not dependent upon you and whether you give your heart to him. He is King and he is Lord. I don't care if you choose to bow your knee before him in this life or not. I would want you to. Trust me, you want to. If you don't bow your knee before him in this life, guess what? You will bow your knee before him. When you stand before your throne, before his throne, you're not going to be able to stand very long before you're on your knees and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. A king will reign in righteousness. Now, why is this line so important? Because it's so rare for our world today. Kings don't reign in righteousness. That's not what we're taught in the movie. A king is known for his conquests. A king is known for how much he can accumulate for himself. A king is known for royal palace ball things, right? I mean, that's what kings do. It's about their life. It's about their reign and being over people. Not this king that we see right here. This king reigns in righteousness. Very different in truth, in justice. Now, this week, I saw so many people interpret this in crazy ways. They would say, well, the king is obviously the Father and the princes are Jesus. Well, you can't do that because it's a plural prince, right? It's princes. There's one Jesus. There's one Lord. This king is none other than Jesus Christ. Who are the princes? I'm looking at them right now. It's you. It's me. It's us. We're the princes. I'm not a princess. I'm a prince. Right? We are the princes. We are the princesses. Christ fulfilled in his time here on this earth perfectly the role of the righteous king reigning. Now we know his kingdom is not of this world. It's a heavenly realm. It's a kingdom of God where he invites us into that kingdom to reign with him in his power. And we even see, as this passage unfolds, we see forever on display. So it just anchors what we're saying even here right now. So what is our role as a prince and as a princess? What do they do? They model their lives after the king. From the moment that a prince is born, he's looking at that king to learn how to reign, to learn how does a king behave. We look at our king. What does holiness look like? What is godliness all about? What does being an overcomer look like? What does it mean to be royalty? They would sit and study their king, their father, to know these things. Church, how long has it been since you've just sat and soaked in who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Just sat before his throne. How long has it been since you've just opened up this word, not to gain some bit of knowledge and input, but just to soak in, God, this is who you are, and this is who I want to be. Now, here's what I know as a pastor. People come to Christ when they're in a storm. And that's exactly what this passage says. It says, a king will reign in righteousness, princes rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm. So people come to Christ when their life is crazy. In fact, this past month, I visited with somebody in our community who a few years ago, for about 3 months, was here every single day in our church, in the elementary school. We prayed together, we cried together, we wrestled about the problem that was happening in this person's life, and then we don't see them, and they don't return calls or emails. And so I see them about a month ago, I say, man, you know, we've really missed you. Are you doing okay? And this was exactly what came out of the mouth. They said, yeah, I'm doing great. That's why I haven't been in church recently. You missed it. You missed the point, right? That's not what this is about. You see, people turn to Christ when their life starts to fall apart. You have coworkers, you have friends, you have family members whose lives are falling apart, and what an incredible opportunity you have with Jesus in your life to reach in and minister to them and shelter them from the storm. All right, but that's not all that it's about right here. Like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land, you see, they're also supposed to learn to drink this water. It was the living water, Jesus Christ, this life-giving taste. Their minds become renewed in Christ as we observe the King upon his throne, and our thought patterns start to change. Oh, I'm interpreting my life differently. So they should come to you to find shelter in a storm. I wonder what they find when they come to you. Oh, I know that this person, they go to Fellowship Church, and here I'm having problems, and I need answers that are more than just this world can find. What do they find when they come to you? I want to get the help of two friends to help us understand shelters just a little bit better. These are probably two people that you know just as well as Elsa and Anna.
Oh. I'm wiped out.
That's your shelter?
Hey, you're a big guy. You got a lot of wood. I'm a little guy.
You got half a stick.
Yeah, but with my little stick and my highly evolved brain, oh, I shall create fire.
Fascinating.
We'll see if brains triumph over brawn tonight. Now, won't we?
Hey, I think I saw a spark.
Any chance I could squeeze in there with you, Manny, old pal?
Oh, isn't there someone else you can annoy? Friends? Family? Poisonous reptiles?
My family abandoned me. They just kind of migrated without me. You should see what they did last year. You know what I mean? They woke up early and then they quietly tied my hands and feet and they gagged me with a field mouse and barricaded the cave door and covered their tracks, went to water so I'd lose their scent and needs them anyway. So what about you? You have family? Okay, you're tired, I see. Well, we'll talk more in the morning. Ow! 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 Manfred? Manfred! Could you scooch over a drop? Oh, come on! Nobody falls asleep that fast! Manny!
I know some of you are sitting there right now and you're concerned because he said highly evolved brain. It's not what this is about. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that he did it in 6 days. I believe in the Bible. It's about shelter right here. You see, when the storm comes, people need shelter. And they're going to look to you to find that shelter. And I wonder what they find. Do they find half of a broken stick like that ugly sloth, right? Or do they find a structure in Jesus Christ over your life that protects them and gives them a chance to be healed through the Holy Spirit that's coming forth from Jesus Christ? What do they find there? And it's so interesting to me in this clip because, you know, they're talking about this physical shelter, but really what they're talking about are the things that people are seeking shelter about. The sloth is talking about how he's been abandoned by his family and now he needs Manfred. And he mentions family to Manfred and he just turns around and gives him the rear end for the rest of the clip, right? Because it's those things that deal with our hearts that people are looking for answers to. And they're found in Jesus Christ. Is that what they see when they come to you? Well, the only way that we get that structure and that shelter as a prince and as a princess by feasting our eyes upon the King. I understanding that his word is life, patterning ourselves after him. We keep reading in verse 5. This is through the king's reign. We're going to find two groups of people right here in verse 5. He says, the fool will no more be called noble. So the fool is the first group. You might want to circle it or underline it. Nor the scoundrel said to be honorable. The scoundrel is the second group. He describes the fool. He says, for the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. Boy, there are fools all over our world today, aren't there? We turn on our TV, we hear them giving us the news. Open up the newspaper, we read about them. Click on the internet and we see stories and videos about them. You see, these fools, they're just busy with iniquity. It's not that there is intent to lead astray, but that's what they do. And we're surrounded by them today. And here's the second one. He says, as for the scoundrel, now this is a little bit different. His devices are evil. They are plotting evil. That's what they're after. He plans wicked schemes to ruin the poor with lying words, even when the plea of the needy is right. Boy, scoundrels are all over our world today, aren't they? We're surrounded by them. We read about them on our Facebook pages. We post pictures of them on our Instagrams. But he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. You see, the nobility, someone who is not swayed by the world, someone who doesn't chase after the fool or chase after the scoundrel. So here's what we know in this kingdom reign, a person's heart is going to be revealed. See, there's no hiding with Jesus as king. And when I enter in as a prince or enter in as a princess with Jesus, here's the first thing that I should ask. Am I a fool? Am I a scoundrel? Well, we look at this description. Is this me or is it not? See, because in a moment we're going to see the attributes of the kingdom reign. We see the attributes of the fool and the scoundrel. But we are supposed to follow righteousness, not people. We follow the truth that is Jesus Christ, not people. Church, don't be enticed by the fool. Don't be enticed by the scoundrel. Truth reveals hearts. In our world today, we promote fools as if they were noble, and we promote scoundrels as if they were learned people and glorious people. But as a church, we're not to be deceived by that. We know the truth that is in Jesus Christ, and that is the bedrock that we're supposed to walk on and live our lives according to. You know, you can't turn on the internet this past week without reading about Bo Bergdahl. A man in the military, the only prisoner of war in Afghanistan. And then in glorious news reporting, there is an exchange made of prisoners from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for Bo Bergdahl. And so the first day of the news, man, celebration time. A POW has been released. Let's throw parades. This is exciting. This is great. Second day, on the cover of all the newspapers, whoa, who is this guy? He abandoned his post. He pledged jihad with these Taliban. He's like an insurgent coming over here. Third day of news. Oh, all of the reports you heard yesterday weren't true. This is a good guy. Fourth day of news. Oh, all of those things that were said yesterday about what was not true are actually not true. And he really is. And you have a whole nation right now clamoring after half-truths and half-statements without really knowing the full story, right? But we make up our minds the moment we read something, and that's what I'm going to follow. That's chasing after fools and scoundrels. And the reality is, the truth of Jesus Christ says Bo Bergdahl needs Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. The Taliban need Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Are they our enemies? Yeah, they're our enemies. Didn't Jesus say to love your enemies, to do good to those that persecute you? See, that's the worldview. That's a perspective that we come from in Christ as a prince, as a princess. Are there punishments for doing stupid actions in the military and in this world? Yes. But that doesn't change the fact that they need Jesus. We walk in the truth of Christ and in his righteousness. That's where we start. Now we're going to skip over some verses that are dealing with sin and seeing sin on display. We're going to go to verse 14, and he says, "For the palace is forsaken, the populous city deserted, the hill and watchtower will become dens forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks." You see, sin places us in a desolate place. Church, as a prince and as a princess, you have to realize this. Your life is hopeless without Christ. It's hopeless without Christ. I want to tell you something. You didn't earn your salvation. You didn't do something that's going to put you into heaven, but Christ did all of it through the cross and through his resurrection to give us the chance to receive him as Lord of our life so that we can be in heaven, so that we have eternal life with him, so we can triumph as overcomers in this world. So if you didn't earn it, stop acting like acts of righteousness are coming from you. They're not coming from you. They're coming from a power that Christ has given you to be righteous in this world. Don't take credit for it. Don't act like you can do more than other people can do. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. He might have me doing something different than you. He says this, "Until the Spirit is poured out." Here's what we know. Salvation belongs to our God, to him and him alone. See, as a prince of righteousness, in righteousness, I have to realize constantly that my home is this palace forsaken without Christ. I have to operate in that mentality. Apart from him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things. In verse 15, so he says, "Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field, and the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, and it will hail." Let me stop right there for a second. My people will abide in peaceful habitations, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. Man, this is an amazing few sentences right here. See, we know the attributes of the fool and the scoundrel. We see them on display in our world today. Here's the attributes of the Spirit resting upon us. He says fruit is going to be produced. It's not a coincidence. That's what Jesus says. That's what Paul says in the New Testament, Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit will be bursting forth from your life. Do you see that? You know, it's interesting here. He says this fruit will be on us like a tree, but then he says we'll be like a forest. That's us, church. That's God producing fruit in your life, in my life, in your life, in your life. And together as a body, we make something that we don't make on our own, right? We make this glorious thing. Isaiah says, this is like a forest right here. Here's an attribute of the Spirit. He says, peace will rest upon you. Well, is that peace in your heart? Does that even define part of who you are? I love this one. What about quietness? Man, we've lost quietness in 2014. Everything is on all the time, beckoning us to join in. I want to pick on you for just a second. We see Jesus leaving others to go be quiet and be with the Lord. Do you realize that it's in quietness that we hear that still small voice that is the Lord? It's in quietness that we hear what we are in our own heart, right? Before anybody else is awake or after everybody else is asleep, and all we hear is a clock ticking, and we have to deal in that moment with who I am in my heart and in my mind. And it's ugly. But some of you in this room, you spend all of your time with the Lord pumping in a sermon or constantly listening to praise music. This sounds so weird coming from a pastor, all right? I know that that sounds real great, but if you're doing that instead of being quiet before the Lord, then you're selling yourself short for what God wants to do in your life. And my guess is that most likely you're trying to cover up what you need to deal with in your heart before the Lord to say, God, boy, this is ugly. And in the quietness and stillness, I want to confess and give, get this ugliness out of my heart and deal with who I am and let your voice lead me to everlasting life. Quietness, trust. What an incredible description. Now, here's a funny way to end. See, he says, my people will abide in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. But then he says this, it will hail when the forest falls down. What? That's not what I wanted to read next. I wanted to read, then chipmunks will sing in the forest, and everything will be happy, and Ewoks will be there. You know, that's what we want to read. But it will hail, the forest falls down, the city will be utterly laid low. Happy are you who sow beside all waters, who let the feet of the ox and the donkey range free. Man, I've been wrestling with what this means this past week. Forest isn't perfect. There's wheat, there's weeds that grow at the same time. And God causes it to rain on the godly and the ungodly in the same way. But even when it rains, even when fire would threaten us, blessed and happy are those who are princes in the kingdom of God. Blessed and happy are the poor in spirit. Blessed and happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? When Jesus is saying these things, it's like they're oxymorons. Why would we be blessed if we're poor in spirit? Because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Because it's even in those times where life doesn't make sense and difficulties arise that we find Christ ministering to our hearts, blessing us. You see, the Spirit of God can restore all things. Some of you sitting in here, you feel like you're the jester in the kingdom of God. But the Spirit of God can reach into that place and make you a prince and a princess. See, some of you feel like you're on the outside of the castle walls, begging that you could come in, and there's no place that you are that the Spirit of God can't reach into your heart and restore things to bring you into the kingdom of God and make you a prince and a princess. You might think that you're cast out and far away from the kingdom. There is nowhere that you think your heart resides that the Spirit of God can't reach and restore. Church, He can restore all things. Do we choose to sit at His feet and look at Him and hear His voice? Are you a prince in the kingdom? Are you a princess in the kingdom? You know, as much has been said about Bo Bergdahl, I can't imagine living 5 years with the Taliban. I can't imagine living in caves in Afghanistan. They said he was in this metal cage for half of that time. I can't imagine living in a place where the United States are shooting missiles and bombs and grenades and stuff at you and knowing that you're going to have to move around by that. But here's what I do know. When we give our lives over to our sin, we're living in a place much worse than he lived the last 5 years. God wants you to be in the kingdom away from your sin. Hear his voice this morning. Father, we love you. We give you this time. We give you our lives. And we just praise you for what you're doing in our lives and in this church. Meet with us during this time. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.